This is Sunday morning, 10:14:18, and we're going to talk about boundaries again. This is part 9, and this particular segment is called Holy Ghost Junior. Holy Ghost Junior. Proverbs 14 is where we're going to start. We've talked about in the teaching on boundaries about submission, what true Bible submission is. And so we're going to go into a little further about this, on more on the woman's side of submission, to be fair. So, Proverbs 14:1 says, "Every wise woman builds her house, but the foolish one tears it down with her own hands." Lord spoke that to me many years ago, and it's one that I go back to all the time. Am I building my house, or am I ripping it down with my own hands? We're going to look at submission and subjection. You know, in our world we live in, feminism is a big thing, you know. And what really feminism is women want to be men. That's what it's all about. They want to take away men's authority, just like right now they're talking about all white men need to just shut up. That was what came out through this Kavanaugh stuff. All white men just need to shut up, have no opinion. And they think, well, Congress is not credible because it's full of a bunch of old white men. What are they trying to do? Well, the scripture talks about it. I didn't look that up, where women... There was a time where women would outnumber the men, and that the women would take over, and the chaos because of women taking over. We are made to be in a certain place, and it's not men's place. That's just where God put us. He has blessed us and ordained us to be in that place. And so that's what we're going to look at today. 1 Peter 3. We're going to start with verse 1 here. It says, "In like manner, you married women, be submissive to your own husbands. Subordinate your own selves, or yourselves, as being secondary to and dependent on them, and adapt yourselves to them, so that even if they do not obey the word of God, they may be won over, not by discussion, but by the godly lives of their wives. When they observe the pure and modest way in which you conduct yourselves, together with your reverence for your husband, you are to feel for him all that reverence includes: to respect, defer to, revere him, to honor, esteem, appreciate, prize, and in the human sense, to adore him, that is to admire, praise, be devoted to, deeply love, and enjoy your husband." This is probably one of your favorite teachings of the year. "Let not yours be the merely external adorning with elaborate interweaving and knotting of the hair, the wearing of jewelry or changes of clothes, but let it be the inward adornment and beauty of the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible and unfading charm of a gentle and peaceful spirit, which is not anxious or wrought up, but is very precious in the sight of God. And it was thus that the pious women of old who hoped in God were accustomed to beautify themselves and were submissive to their husbands, adapting themselves to them as themselves secondary and dependent upon them." Now I'm going to look at a couple of words here. Subjection here means to subordinate or to obey. Conversation here means behavior. Now women are the ones that are more subject to emotion. Does it say obey our husbands? Or who are we really obeying? If this is what God has laid down for women, who are we ultimately obeying? The Lord. Okay, now let's look over to Ephesians chapter 5. I think a lot of times women struggle with this because they see it as some men lording it over them, but they don't see it as their Lord and Master, as His place. And we'll get into it later. he showed it to me like, you ought to view that just like you do your leaders, like your president. Or okay, Ephesians, this is 5:22. Okay, well, first 21 says, be subject to one another out of reverence for Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Wives, be subject, be submissive, and adapt yourselves to your own husbands as a service to the Lord. So we know it's not to every man, it's just to the your husband as a service to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, himself the Savior of his body. As the church is subject to Christ, so let wives also be subject in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Well, I don't think we have to be concerned about being mistreated, because if husbands love their wives as Christ loved the church, she'd be cherished. So that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present the church to himself in glorious splendor without spot or wrinkle or any such things, that she might be holy and faultless. Even so, husbands would love their wives as being in their sense their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. One time I counseled with a couple, and he was just on her about everything, and he brought her over to our house thinking she needed deliverance, and we prayed for her, and she was needing deliverance. But the Lord sent me to their house the next day, and the Lord just gave me that scripture for the man. He who loves his wife loves himself. And he had to admit, maybe this is not what I was thinking, but, you know, I guess this is what it was needed. Learning how to treat his wife. For no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and carefully protects and cherishes it as Christ does the church, because we are members, parts of his body. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is very great, but I speak concerning the relation of Christ and the church. However, let each man of you, without exception, love his wife as being, in a sense, his very own self. Let the wife see that she respects and reverences her husband, that she notices him, regards him, honors him, prefers him, venerates and esteems him, that she defers to him, pleases him, loves him, and admires him exceedingly. And then we go on in chapter 6, we're talking about children getting in line under the parents. Then when we talk about servants getting in line under their masters or bosses with employees, then we get to the part where we put on our armor. See, when we're in the chain of command that God's placed us and we're doing what he wants us to do, then our armor's going to work. If we don't, if we're out of line, I don't believe it'll work. I mean, he put it all in here for a reason. I believe it all flows together. Honoring authority, us praying for our leaders. We know our world's been in chaos. Devil started wars and all these things. Why? We've been out of order. Okay. All right. Are you Holy Ghost Junior? You're not supposed to be. You can't tell anybody else what they ought to do. Even God submits to us, if you might say in that respect. He will never boss you around or tell you what you ought to do. If you don't want it, you go your own way. God doesn't infringe on his man. He gave him the earth, gave him dominion. And he said, okay, take it and do these things with it. But for the most part, man has not. And so God lets them do what they want. He likes a cheerful, prompt-to-do-it giver. He wants you to give what you give out of, not out of compulsion. In other words, you're drawing it out. I'm like, you know, I've been in services where they just beat you up for money, or you've been on websites where people just money, 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 just pulling money. The focus is money. God wants you to give cheerfully. He doesn't want you to be made to do something. I mean, if that's the way it was, then everybody'd be saved, wouldn't it be? But God lets us choose which way we will go. Choose you this day whom you'll serve. Well, it has to be that way in our relationships also. We cannot be Holy Ghost Junior to somebody. We cannot be their conscience or be their guide and make them do what, you know what? It has to be genuine. Okay, so the wife is to stay in her place in the chain of command as has been placed in the Word of God. Like you obey your boss and you subject yourself to their leadership, correct? Okay. This must be the place for, this is the place for successful warfare. Ephesians 6, in conclusion, to all this about being in order, in conclusion, be strong in the Lord. Women should look at submission as a blessing and not a curse. Now I know, because there have been men that are very abusive and they don't get it. I can understand if they've not been taught right, how things get out of kilter very easy. But women are in a protected place. I mean, the man shoulders the responsibility, a lot of it. And that's a pretty awesome place to have to stand in. So women, really, the women and the children are put in a protective place with this authority over them to protect them from the evil one. Then it says the wife is supposed to, I didn't write that scripture down, the wife is supposed to be the keeper at home, the one that guards the kids, she guards the house from the evil one. She keeps the devil out of her house. Okay. If we go behind the backs of our bosses and try to control what they do, what is that called? A mutiny. Or a seditions. This is seditions. It means disunion. In other words, you get out of fellowship. You get starts, you know, building alliances with Satan. Really? Disunity. That's, you know, bashing your boss and things. That's sowing discord. That's sowing disunity. All right, let's look at Galatians 5:20, because it is a work of the flesh. We know what the work of the flesh calls death. Galatians 5:20. Let's do 19. Now the doings, the practices of the flesh are clear, obvious. They are immorality, impurity, indecency, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, ill temper, selfishness, divisions, dissensions, party spirit, factions, sects of peculiar opinions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and the like. I warn you beforehand, just as I did previously, that those who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Then it goes on to talk about the fruit of the Spirit. See, love. Love doesn't force. The devil forces. He is trying to take over our world and force us into submission to his will. God, on the other hand, gives us a free choice to choose who we will serve. Did God place authority over you for you to overthrow that authority? As a woman, do you feel like God made a mistake? A lot of women do. Like I said, the feminist movement, that's exactly what this is. They're rebelling. I saw a little clip of, it was the day after Inauguration Day when the women had the big march in Washington, or, you know, D.C. And oh, Madonna, I'm mad, I'm angry. And I thought, many times of blowing up the White House, I thought, these are the women that are leading the forefront in our nation? What kind of message is that sending? To blow up the White House? Really? There was a day that just saying those words would get you in Leavenworth or wherever. Yeah. It shows these women have no respect for God-placed authority whatsoever. He has made a way for us to handle it if we feel it is unjust. There's a proper way to handle it. Sedition is Satan's way, the way of the flesh. If you feel mistreated, you take it to the Lord. As women, God fights our battles. As men, God fights your battles also. Don't undermine or manipulate and control the other master is witchcraft. To try to control another person. Sometimes it's hard with the kids and stuff, you know, you just want to put in your aura about something. But in essence, when you let the Lord speak to the person, then you know it's genuine. And you know, yeah, the Lord's doing it. I'll tell you a little story. Danny probably won't mind me bringing this up, of how the Lord's taught me. I can't say I'm perfected. Don't take me wrong that I am. But I can remember we went on a motorcycle trip to Fort Davis one time. And we went up to the observatory. And we were down at the bottom where I guess there's a museum or something there. The observatory is up on a hill, and I wanted to go up on the hill to the observatory, but I wanted him to go with me, and he didn't want to. So anyway, I dropped it, and we left, and we went on down the road. About 20 minutes later, he pulls over the side of the road and says, "I'm sorry, I should have gone up there with you. The Lord just spoke to me that it's your vacation too." So he said, "We'll go back if you want to." I said, "Nah, we're not going to go back." But it's just that kind of deal. I didn't really even ask the Lord about it. I just dropped it. And the Lord spoke to him about it. I can't tell you how many times that's happened to me. Just something that maybe I wanted. And I didn't want to ask for money for it or anything. I just said, "Lord, I'd really like to do this," or whatever. And I just drop it. And a few months later, he might come in and say, "You know, that furniture you've been wanting," or whatever it is. See, there's a way. God's with women too. He's not just the man. See, I was brought up to believe that Pa was a woman hater and only men were anointed. And I really was. It was like the women were just squashed and did whatever the man wanted. But that's not the way it is. God's raised up his sons and his daughters. There was a time that Sarah wanted to get rid of old Ishmael and his mother, and Abraham didn't want to. But the Lord said, "You listen to your wife, because that kid ain't going to inherit with that kid." So, you know, when we're on the side of right, God will vindicate us. He will. He's our champion. He takes care of us. Submission is not to be looked at like we're going to be squashed. We're quite powerful in the place that we stand in. We've got just as much sway as a man does, and we can stay in our place and please God at the same time. God has a way. I remember years ago, my friend Mary, her little daughter-in-law, was trying to talk Michael into this and trying to talk Michael into that. She'd say, "Honey, you don't need to talk Michael into anything. You just need to take it to the Lord." I thought that's one of the wisest things that I'd ever heard in my life when she said that. And that's absolutely true with anybody, male or female. If there's something we don't like and something's troubling us, we take it to the Lord. Let the Lord do it. The Lord will do it. Okay. I put here, tell it to the judge. We do not control people. Ever, in any form or fashion. You cannot make people do anything. And usually when you do, it backfires. It makes the biggest mess when you take it into your own hands to do something. I know I have done it so many times. And I'm thinking, "Lord, help me with this." Well, this is the answer. When I try to take something into my own flesh and try to work it out and try to do it, goes along with the love, like walking in love. Whenever you want to give somebody a piece of your mind, but then love constrains you. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Then you think, "No, I'm going to pray about that, and I'm going to let the Lord lead me in what to do concerning it." Because you know what? Once those words are out, they're out. And a lot of times they can't be brought back. And a lot of times people just don't ever get over it in some cases. Okay, Matthew 18. God knows so good. He does it so good. He does all things well. And he's not mad at any of us today. He's just showing us a better way. I wished I could have learned what I know now a lot earlier. It would have saved me a lot of heartache. Especially when you're raising teenagers and stuff, you know, you just... just dealing with people in general. Okay, this is Matthew 18, 21. Then Peter came up to him and said, Lord, how many times may my brother sin against me and I forgive him and let it go? As many as up to seven times. And Jesus answered him, I tell you, not up to seven times, but 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of God of heaven is like a human king who wished to settle accounts with his attendants. When he began the accounting, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents, probably about $10 million, and because he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and his children, everything that he possessed in payment to be made. So the attendant fell on his knees, begging him, have patience with me and I will pay you everything. And his master's heart was moved with compassion and released him, forgave him, canceling the debt. But that same attendant, as he went out, found one of his fellow attendants who owed him 100 denarii, about $20, and he caught him by the throat and said, pay what you owe. So his fellow attendant fell down and begged him earnestly, give me time and I will pay you all. But he was unwilling, and he went out and had him put in prison till he should pay the debt. When his fellow attendants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed, and they went and told everything that had taken place to his master. Then his master called him and said to him, you contemptible and wicked attendant, I forgave and canceled all that great debt of yours because you begged me to. And should you not have had pity and mercy on your fellow attendant as I had pity and mercy on you? And in wrath, his master turned him over to the torturers, the jailers, till he should pay all that he owed. So also my heavenly Father will deal with every one of you if you do not freely forgive your brother from your heart his offenses. What I wanted you to see from this was the fact that when the people saw what this wicked, unmerciful servant did, they went to the master about it, and the master took care of it. You know what? You ain't been got. They hadn't been got till they've been got by God. God can do it in a way that you can't. You just probably make them mad, but God can do it and do it right. Okay. All right, women. The word meek talks about the meek and quiet spirit. Meek there means mild and humble. In other words, you don't get so emotional. You just go into this trying to take care of yourself, fend for yourself, get your rights. Quiet means keeping one's seat. Keeping your seat. When you get mad, what do? Usually you start standing up. Keeping one's seat still and undisturbed. Now take this in context of the woman is the emotional one. Tell it to the judge. Thought about Flip Wilson. Tell it to the judge. He's there. He's the mediator. All right. Women have been abused and taken advantage of, but there is no excuse to have the attitude that you won't be subject to authority. This is what feminism is. It is a range of political movements, ideologies, and social movements that share a common goal to define, establish, and achieve political, economic, personal, and social equality of sexes. This includes seeking to establish educational and professional opportunities for women that are equal to those for men. They're going against God in their movement. They want ultimately to rule over men, like the Kavanaugh hearings. There was a senator I saw yesterday, just a short clip. What's making me feel happy is you're seeing the Democrats start standing up and pushing back, and I appreciate that. But he was a white male, and these women were accosting him just going into the elevator, and I want you to apologize to my two daughters. You have ruined their lives. And he said, he told the little girls, well, I'm sorry, you know. If somebody comes up to you and insults you when you get older, you just blow it off and just act like, you know, that isn't true. Just going about your business. You'll be fine. She told the girls, your mother's using you as a shield. I realize that. But he just blew them off, and they screamed after him. You don't believe me? You don't believe me? The big deal about the Kavanaugh deal was, we don't believe this woman, and she has accused him of sexual allegations. It didn't matter if he did it or not. You're supposed to believe her over him. In this country, it's you're innocent until proven guilty, but they want you're guilty by accusation. If that were true, we're all sunk. That's what this feminine, that's what this is. It's gone so out of proportion. Well, Jesus already fixed it for women when they get in the rightful place. All right, God through Jesus Christ has given men and women liberty. Not anything that we do is to put us in bondage. All Jesus ever did was come to set the captive free in every area of our life. And he showed us how to do it. Okay. 1 Peter 3:7, I didn't read that while ago, but I want to read that. It's a... It says, in the same way you married men, live considerately with your wives, with an intelligent recognition of the marriage relation, honoring the woman as physically the weaker, but realizing that you're joint heirs of the grace God's unmerited favor. You're not a second-class citizen. In order that your prayers may not be hindered and cut off, otherwise you cannot pray effectively. So God wants unity, and he warns the men, because of your position, living with an intelligence with your wife in wisdom, lest your prayers be hindered. I don't think I wrote that down, but Abigail. It's Abigail and Naboth. If you've read that story about her, David was going to go, and Naboth was wicked to David. So David was going to go and just wipe him out, but his wife Abigail intervened, and she came and humbled herself and brought an offering and begged him to please not do this thing. And so she went home, and evidently Naboth was a wicked man, and she told Naboth what she'd done, and it indicates he had a stroke, and then he died. And she ended up being David's wife, you know, his first wife, second wife. So she acted appropriately, and God intervened on her behalf. Okay, knowledge. Live with knowledge according to with your wives. It says, being aware, no abuse of power. We're joint heirs, even though we sit in different places in the chain of command, but we all sit under the head of the heads. That's Jesus. We're all seated with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We are all joint heirs. We just occupy different places. It is wrong to control someone. Did God put us where we are to judge the authority we are placed under? I'm not this man's judge. Now, I might have some opinions, but I saw that look. But I'm not his judge. Okay, now 1 Timothy 2. Well, I had a member, a lady that I befriended, which I wished I'd never befriended her, but her husband was mixed up with a group where their women were just absolutely in bondage. They couldn't do anything. Couldn't even have the checkbook, couldn't leave the house. I mean, just really off-the-wall, cultic type of stuff. You know, and I just think that's just the way the devil does things. But God doesn't do that. God's not that way. I can see how women would think God was if they weren't properly taught. Okay, 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 5. First of all, then, admonish and urge that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be offered on behalf of all men, for kings and all who are in a position of authority or high responsibility, that outwardly we may pass a quiet and undisturbed life, and inwardly a peaceable one, in all godliness and reverence and seriousness in every way. So how do we pray for the authority over us? This very prayer. It says for those in authority. It talks about the children honoring their father and mother. Wow, that's their authority. If you can teach your kids to honor their father and mother, pray for father and mother, then when they get grown, they'll pray for leaders. They'll have the right chain of command as far as authority is concerned. They won't be dealing with the problems like we deal with today, where there is no law. It's lawlessness. Okay, I want to read it to you. Love the Weight of Victory. Brother Hagin had such a good take on this subject. Okay, let me look here. Love works no ill in marriage. The God kind of love works no ill to his neighbor. Well, that applies to husbands and wives too. So if you're married, that includes working ill to your spouse, doesn't it? Therefore, if you're going to walk in God kind of love, that means you can't work any ill to your husband or to your wife. When couples are having problems in their marriage, husbands need to ask themselves, what would love do? Wives need to ask themselves, what would love do? I'm talking about divine love, not human love. Human love is fickle. You can't walk by human love and be a successful Christian. Human love is just a little bit more than physical attraction. A woman once asked me if she could talk to me. She said, it seems like I just don't love my husband anymore. What do you mean, I asked. You don't love your husband anymore? Oh, he's a fine man and he's good to me. In fact, he's just a wonderful person, but I just don't seem to love him anymore. You see, she needed to get her mind renewed with the Word of God. I began to talk to her about the love of God and to teach her how to develop God's love so it would grow and increase. Finally, I said, why don't you let God's love dominate you? God's love will solve every problem that comes up. I don't know if it's here, but he said, you would never find God's love inside of a divorce court. You see, if you walk in the God kind of love, you'll succeed every time because God's love bears up under anything and everything that comes. We have the God kind of love in us. We can love like God loves. If we just listen to the Bible, make the love of God our great quest, and develop the love of God on the inside, we'll prosper in every area of life. Husbands and wives need to let the love of God dominate them, not just natural human love. Naturally, husbands and wives have a certain amount of physical attraction and attraction toward each other, but natural love is so shallow it can turn to hatred overnight. The love of God won't do that, and you see, Christians have the advantage over other folks. Not only can they love their husband or wife with natural affection, but they can also add this divine love to their natural affection for each other. They can love each other with a God kind of love, which never seeks its own, but always seeks the other's welfare. Couples need to practice seeking their spouse's welfare because they seek their own. Couples who do this will experience heaven on earth in their marriages. Even in marriage, put the other person first. Think of yourself. How can I be a blessing to my spouse? Think of the other person's welfare before your own. Some folks don't do that, and it creates problems in their marriage. For example, some dear women, bless their hearts, get so spiritual they think they're too holy to have sexual relations with their husband. But this verse, love works no ill to anyone, applies to them. They couldn't be exercising this verse towards their husband. Are they working any ill to their husband by not being a wife to him? Absolutely. They're liable to cause him to stumble and fall into sin. And then they would have to share in the blame for it. Some of them say, yes, but God told me not to have physical relations with my husband. If he did, then he lied in his word, because his word said that married couples are not to defraud one another. So I'm going to stop there. So love works no ill to your neighbor. God will see as women that we are treated fairly when we submit to his will that is laid down in his word. We are not men, and we are not supposed to act like men. I think, you know, with the transgender thing, even the homosexual thing, I think that that's trying to bypass some of that. any authority, any restraint of any kind. We are our freest when we act like the women God's created us to be. Don't boss them, pray for them, and watch God work.